T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Oh, we've got so much to sort out, so much to talk about, and that's what we're doing. 860-522-9842. We've also got rant line calls. We mix the live calls and the rants together, and we make our way through this hour. Tom Scott will be here in the next half hour as well as we do our Tuesday thing here on WTIC. 860-522-9842. And let's start with a little bit of ranting.
Way to go, Governor Dum-Dum. 9 months in and still have no plan for vaccination. Didn't you think a vaccine was ever coming out? What will King Ned ever do once COVID is gone? Way to be a leader.
Another one.
Hi, Todd. As a lifetime amateur hockey player, I'd like to clarify the hockey stick symbol.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
The hockey stick is a distant cousin of the hammer and the sickle. And the hockey stick is the favored implement of destruction of government officials. The hockey stick is used to slash the rights of citizens. It is also used for hooking and crooking by government officials as they hook and crook their way through their political careers. It is also used to create hacks in the glorious public sector. I hope this has clarified the misunderstandings of the symbolism of the hockey stick.
Yes, that was terrific. Thank you. We were talking about the hockey stick yesterday because it's back in the political lexicon. Jim West Suffield. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm about to be the most unpopular person around. But I'm pretty sure Mike Pence has no power to affect anything tomorrow because of the Electoral Count Act of 1887.
Say it again.
Because of
the what?
There's an Electoral Count Act of 1887.
The Electoral Count Act of 1887 says what?
It says that the vice president's role is largely ceremonial. He has to make sure the ballots are opened and read, and that's it.
And it goes okay. So forget about any fantasies about a world takeover and a coup attempt by or the saving of the Constitution, depending on which way that works out.
The election in 1852, and that's why this came about.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying, Jim.
What's that?
I said, thanks for clarifying. Anything else you wanted to say?
You can double check it because college was a long time ago, but I remember doing a paper on this.
All right. I'm looking it up, Jim. Thank you so much for the call. And let's slip in Nino before we grab a couple more rants. Hello, Nino.
Hey, how's it going? Second time caller, so I appreciate taking my phone call. There's just three things that I wanted to touch on. The first thing, I definitely back up the Constitution. It's a piece of history that I definitely believe in. But there are other two things that you brought up was our country is in $26 trillion in debt. Out of that $26 trillion, how much of it has been given to foreign countries that don't have to pay it back, but, you know, the taxpayers here have to pay it back? when it comes to the kids, the grandkids. So we're in the hook for that. So that's
I think it's that's a tiny amount of it. Most of it is goes to propping up our economy and vote rigging schemes, you know, buying things for individual Americans so that they will vote for politicians.
Oh, so let me ask you this. Do you think, you know, like the stimulus package that just passed, that, you know, most of that money went to foreign countries. Do you think that some of that money gets funneled back to our politicians' pockets? I mean, any amount of that money?
In some scheme or another, probably, but not necessarily directly the way you're suggesting. It's much easier to do corruption the newfangled way as opposed to the old-fashioned way. But I'm not sure. I don't know these things. There's no way to – I mean, these are – you're talking about the hidden crevices of how the power is rigged to favor the powerful.
Yes. You know, it's my wife's brother, you know, son-in-law's company where they get, you know, some money through that way. That's just the way I think. And then the third thing was about the stimulus package, how, you know, it's not un-American to get money, you know, going to the bank account, but that's our money. So if I'm paying into something and it goes back to me, how is that not a good thing for me? What I don't like is when
it is a good thing for you. But it's a bad thing for the country because it's the structure through which the politicians rig elections. They take tax dollars that are not needed or should be used for something legitimate, and they use them to buy votes by sending them to taxpayers. But the purpose of taxation isn't so the federal government can take the money, send it back to its favorite voters to make sure that elections are won moving forward.
I got cut off. Todd, I'm disgusted by your comment that the Democratic Party is racist. Your WTIC has no women on-air talent, no black or minority Puerto Rican talent, and the Democratic Party is racist. I think WTIC might be racist. We got to bring back the fairness doctrine. This is too much now. You deserve a podcast in your underwear in the basement, but the stuff you say,
I have one of those.
It's totally out of hand. I'm getting, and you're a 50,000 watt radio station. It's disgusting because you're federally licensed. You shouldn't have the opportunity to rant. I don't mind listening to 1 hour of your nonsense, but we should have the other side to make things fair. Bring back the fairness doctrine, and I can't wait to try to get buddies to buy Entercom and buy you out. The first thing I'm going to do is fire you, Pastor Will. I just can't wait. Thank you.
I can't wait either. That's going to be fun to watch. You put up the couple hundred million dollars or whatever it would cost to take over the – maybe, I don't know, maybe it's $1 billion. But anyway, this is the kind of irrational thinking that leads us into our messes.
I got cut off. Todd, I'm disgusted by your comment that the Democratic Party is racist.
So that's what he's responding to, and he didn't say one thing to refute that comment. Of course the Democratic Party is racist. They're in the business of race. That's how they win elections. They provoke the racial divide. They run the areas where those who claim that they suffer from structural racism live. The Black Lives Matter people go out and protest on the streets of what? Cities or suburbs? Where do they do those protests? Oh, they're in the cities. Wait a sec. The cities run by the Democrats. That's where the Black Lives Matter protests were born. Where are the accusations of police violence against minorities? They're in which areas? The ones controlled by Republicans or the ones controlled by Democrats? Oh, it's the ones controlled by Democrats. People need to wake up, please. We're having a lot of fun. It's rant line time. But we'll also grab a phone call or two. Let's get Charlie from Avon in. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Todd. You know, I think that everyone's concentrating on the Constitution, but even more basic than that, I think everyone's frustration is that we are based on the rule of law, and people are sick and tired of seeing that just demolished. The rules for them.
What do you mean? Give an example of the demolition. Where's the demolition of rule of law?
The fact that Hillary Clinton destroyed her emails and smashed her phones, even though she should have preserved those, Where was the justice?
But hang on a second, because the rule of law is not such an absolute thing. Hillary Clinton was the wife of a president and almost elected president on her own. And people on the left would argue she would have been president if there wasn't a deep state conspiracy. They wouldn't use that language, but they would say that Jim Comey, with his ridiculous press conferences, rigged it so Hillary would lose and Trump would win. They also say the Russians were manipulating. So rule of law is a complicated thing, but part of the our concept of rule of law is that we don't arrest the former leader when the new leader takes over, that we don't. That becoming president doesn't mean that your future is to face criminal persecution as soon as you leave office. Where and there's a lot of countries. Baby Netanyahu, the premier in Israel, has been facing years of legal prosecution. It happens in places in South America all the time. We don't want to be like that. So rule of law is complicated, and that's my point about this. It takes our bonded sense of what our country is and what we're committed to carry us forward and to take the lumps of things not going our way and to fight to make our, to coin a phrase, to make our country a more perfect union.
I know Hillary should have been arrested. She should have.
Well, that's
and
true.
What about,
that's true.
What about in those states that were told preserve the ballot? And yet they went ahead and shredded them so that there's no way now to really make heads or tails of this election.
Yeah.
Who is going
Look,
to be
this
punished?
This is how
for that?
Elections work. This is how elections work.
But
where there is power,
you are saying
where there is. No, what I'm saying is I put
hold. And you're just kind of saying, OK, there's fraud. So you're basically saying, the rule.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Let me explain to you, Charlie. I'm not saying, I'm saying first we preserve the nation. If Donald Trump cared deeply about the election rigging schemes that the left uses all the time, then he should have been laying out that groundwork and working on it over the past 4 years when he's had immense power. Now at his moment of weakness, suddenly he wants to deal with after the fact the way elections work in this country. No, I'm sorry. I don't. That's not a good enough reason to destroy our system of government in whatever feeble condition it's in right now. I don't buy that. I just don't. That's all. We've got a difference of opinion. There is no absolute we have a good election or a bad election. Elections are flawed things because power is evil. And that's what our system of government is based on, the understanding that power is evil. The government, creating a government, is a crime against humanity. But they felt they had to create a government. They tried to figure out a way to protect us from the evils of government. And obviously, it didn't last. Maybe that's what Jefferson was talking about when he said you had to refresh it every 20 years or so with the spilling of blood. That's how optimistic Thomas Jefferson was about how you hold together a civilized and civil society that is a nation of laws, because ultimately power is so seductive that people will destroy for it. And that's why our system was supposed to be small government. But what did they do? They took a long-term view. The racists and the communists on the left took a long-term view. We don't have to destroy America overnight. We can do it over time. And that's what they've been doing. So I suggest that we take it back over the long term. And a vital cog in that is keeping what we have, but asserting our voices. Republicans don't talk about this stuff. They don't talk like I do. They don't tell the truth about Democrats. They don't tell the truth about elections. They don't tell the truth about power. Donald Trump does sometimes. And sometimes Donald Trump practices power on his own behalf because that's what people in power do. Can't blow up the whole thing because of that, I don't think. 860-522-9842. We'll get another rant in, then we'll grab some more phone calls.
Hi, Todd. Happy New Year. Merle calling from New Hartford. Isn't it time that someone took that cane and stretched it out there and grabbed the governor by the neck and yanked him off the stage. His conference is going over an hour, and it's repetition after repetition. It is driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah, that was yesterday. That was agonizing. No doubt. Agreed.
That purple-haired DeLauro talking about a free and fair election? What world has she been in for the past 4 years? Are you kidding me? The fraud is evident. She needs to stop drinking the Kool-Aid and lying to us.
All right, let's get Matt in here. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Todd, good afternoon. I was listening to a ranter or whatever earlier saying that TIC is racist. Well, if TIC is racist, then what's NPR?
NPR is glorious and the epitome of all things beautiful. It smells like the most perfect rose growing on a late spring day.
Wow, thanks, Todd.
I'm being facetious.
Like a warm hug.
So this is what people don't realize. That guy is quoting the ideas that he is force-fed by NPR, that somehow if you don't have an even number of people of all different races or sexes or genders or whatever, that by the fact of that non-racist behavior, you would be racist. So, the guy's a nut and obviously doesn't do any thinking of his own.
God forbid there's a conservative talk radio show, regardless of who's behind the microphone nowadays.
Oh, yes. Thank you for making that point that all I didn't fit that one in, I don't think, but all of the rest of the media is anti-American and pushing the opposite view of the constitutional viewpoint. And he's complaining because there's one outlet where people talk pro-American. It's a pretty bizarre thing. Matt, thank you for the call. I'm glad you did make that point. We'll play some more rants when we continue. Then Tom Scott will be here. And you continue to be here, please. Thank you so much for doing that. Rant line number 751-4698. Yes, indeed, it's rant line time. Let's grab a couple more before we go to Tom Scott.
Hey, Todd, this is Bill from Bristol. You got a great show. Listen to you every day. Glad you're back. But I was just listening to the governor's COVID update and tuned in right when whoever the reporter was asked the question of Rosa DeLauro about President's phone call to Georgia. I almost drove off the road. It's time for a revolution. I'll accept President Trump losing once we figure out what went wrong, because there was definitely fraud. So time to make these people accountable for their lives. And what does this topic have to do with the governor's COVID? You guys should have pulled the plug as soon as she started talking. Have a good day.
She is a trigger, Rosa DeLauro. But, you know, the question is, how do you play out the thing you want to play out? How does one preserve America and challenge what's going on right now? Because what's going on right now is a march toward preserving our systems and holding it all together and putting Joe Biden into the White House. And that's what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, it seems to me.
Hello, Todd. Welcome back. Happy New Year. My rant is the most vulnerable population of the state of Connecticut, nursing homes. If you give a 103-year-old lady, a 90-year-old lady, an 80-year-old lady, who has no family, nobody, who has been in a nursing home for years, a choice of the COVID virus or getting their hair done.
Yeah.
Hair done will win every time.
Well, of course it will. I would take having my hair done over having COVID. Wouldn't everybody?
At a nursing home I know of, the ladies have been asking for over a year, when are we going to be able to get our hair done? They don't care about the virus. They have nothing to live for. They look forward to getting their hair done or their nails done this particular nursing home has a beauty salon. There's no way that they should not be able to get their hair and nails done.
All right, so John wants the hair salons opened for seniors who are locked in nursing homes or other senior care facilities. Interesting argument. Haven't heard it before. 860-522-9842. Tom Scott coming up next. Then we'll play some more rants if we have time after Tom. WTIC. We are rocking and rolling through a Tuesday. Tom Scott joins us. He spent, when he was young, 10 years in the state Senate, and he survived it. And he actually seems to have gotten smarter through the years rather than what happens to so many people who spend too many years in that building. Hello there, Tom.
Hello, Todd. You're referring to my misspent youth.
Yes.
Happy New Year to you and yours and to your considerable WTIC audience.
Thank you. Likewise.
Well, a lot going on out there. You know, the legislature is back in session this week, so hold on to your wallets. And if the Republicans lose both of those Senate seats in Georgia today, then hold on to your wallet with both hands because they're coming after us.
How different will it be in Washington if Republicans lose both of those Senate elections being held today in Georgia? How different will Joe Biden's power be?
Well, it will be. Well, the institution of the presidency will be dramatically empowered in the context of these people controlling the whole government. I mean, this guy is just a figurehead. I don't even think he knows what day of the week it is on any given day. But it's the people around him. There are a lot of very smart and clever ideologues around him and that he is assembling for his cabinet. And then all of the outer influences that contributed to him winning the presidency to the extent, and I use that word winning advisedly, I think they're going to go for it. I really do. If they control
go for what?
The Senate, everything, the attack on our way of life is going to be accelerated. And
but how does that play out if they only have a hair amount of distance between a tie in the Senate chamber and an advantage to the Democrats? I mean, that would require that all of them be there for every single vote, that nobody cast a vote to protect their own best interests.
Yeah, if they win both seats in Georgia, they can lose one senator. And of course, people keep pointing to Senator Manchin in West Virginia, who is hardly a radical and probably the last surviving. I mean, the media likes to call him a conservative, but that's a relative term in this context. He is a moderate Democrat. The president won West Virginia in 2016 and again in 2020 by, I believe, the widest margin of any state in the country. So Manchin's the guy to watch. But if they win both seats in Georgia, they can still lose Manchin and get their way.
Yes, but that it seems to me that's a limited number of votes. Like, you don't pass Obamacare in that environment.
No, but there's a certain inertia in the Democratic Party nationally at the base level that wasn't there when Obama was president. And a lot of people are going to look back at the Obama years as a fond memory in some ways.
The good old days.
As they were, yeah. So again, I can't predict what's going to happen in Georgia. I will say that the Republican Party in Georgia is consultant top-heavy. There are all kinds of super PACs down there, all kinds of consultants making a ton of money. My concern is that there is not as much on the ground level versus TV ads, digital ads, and direct mail that the Democrats have. The Democrats have a machine in Georgia. We saw it in 2020. We saw it in the gubernatorial election there this last time around, where, by the way, the Democrat has still not conceded the election for governor in Georgia. And I can be hopeful, but I'm not confident that the Republicans are going to win one or both of those seats.
We're talking to Tom Scott. Tom, we've spent the afternoon talking about, I asked the question of people, do they give their loyalty to the American system of government or to Donald Trump? Because it concerns me the blind loyalty to Trump. I think people need to take a longer view of things. And part of that longer view is how do we get America back to following the American system of government? That's the game to me. I don't care about any of this if we don't get to have a liberty-based society. That, you know, that's what it's all about. So when you describe what's that level of vehemence, the level of team sport, of clannishness, of tribalism that is now operative in our politics, I wonder what you see as the future of that. How does that feel to you, like it plays out over the long term?
Well, Todd, you know, we're the clock is ticking here, and I think you can have both. And what I mean by that is you can embrace and honor our founding principles, and in particular the Constitution, while simultaneously supporting and applauding the fact that Donald Trump and a lot of Republicans in the House and to a lesser extent in the Senate are willing to fight the left to the end. Now, it may wind up being the charge of the light brigade on our side, but the reality is we had to sit through 4 years of blowhards like Senator Blumenthal and Murphy obstructing every single thing that the legitimate president was trying to do, including to the point of trying to remove him from office. So we don't need lectures from these people. Let this play out. What the House members are doing, what the senators are doing, the Republicans, and what the president and his legal team are doing is all legitimate. And it's been playing out. And what Senator Ted Cruz from Texas in particular is going to do is he is going to put into the congressional record issues for all to see for the history of this country, as long as we survive as a country, that they were not able to get into court. So let it play out. You can be loyal to the president and be loyal to our founding principles at the same time.
No, I'm not suggesting that it shouldn't play out. I'm suggesting that it will play out and that Joe Biden will be sworn in a couple of weeks. And I wonder how people reconcile those two things, because I don't think the average person who is looking forward to the big fight that's coming is going to be satisfied with the outcome. We're talking to Tom Scott. Hold on a sec, Tom. So, Tom, is there a way that you see there being some other outcome besides Joe Biden being sworn in?
Yeah, and it's called 2022. And my concern is that a lot of people on our side are going to be discouraged after President Biden elect is sworn in and becomes president, because that is inevitable and we need to embrace that, while at the same time recognizing that votes were stolen in lots of states like Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona. I mean, I can go right down the list. And it's important that all of these things be exposed, which is why I think what Senator Cruz and others are doing is useful, because they are going to establish a record. But if we give up and if we continue to say the election was stolen and we don't fight the way the Democrats fight, and that's why I'm so encouraged by these House members in particular, Todd, standing up. This is historic in many ways. This may portend a positive result for 2022. And the one thing I'd say about the Democrats and the liberals, unlike us often, they are very, very patient. They just keep on going. And they just keep climbing that hill. And they wait for the next battle, and they just keep going. And we need to do the same. We need to recognize that, politically speaking, we cannot be weekend warriors as Republicans or as a movement. We have to do what the Democrats do. I've been saying this for years. I've said it on your show. Mm-hmm. We need to be smart about this, and we need to embrace and accept a lot of what it is that the Democrats do that is successful.
All right, let me just make sure we understand what you're saying, that you agree that Joe Biden is going to be sworn in a couple of weeks, and that the game that applies here is a long game of using this election manipulation on the part of the left, using it as a political issue in order to win stronger control of Congress or control of Congress on the part of Republicans in 2 years?
It is useful to be mad, but we need to channel that anger, that righteous indignation that resulted from what we saw in this election. 2 years is not a long time in the history of this country.
No, it isn't. They're already running.
Exactly. And if we pick up one or two Republican seats in Georgia tonight, then we can at least put the brakes on. We can tap the brakes. We're not going to stop the left, but we can tap the brakes. I'll tell you another thing that we don't see a lot of. Maybe you do because you're paying attention to this stuff. Look at the freshman class of the new Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives. There are some real stars. And a lot of these people are young, and a lot of them are conservative women. And in many ways, I believe that is the future of the Republican Party. And Nancy Pelosi only won the speakership by, what was it, 5-6 votes? We can take the House in 2022. And that's the next battle because, see, we can't rest. It's a constant fight. And that's something that we as Republicans need to embrace, which unfortunately often we don't do.
Tom, what is the deal with Connecticut? Why does this whole thing pass by Connecticut? Where is the vehemence on the Republican side in Connecticut?
Well, part of the problem is it's very difficult to get candidates for governor, U.S. senator, Congress, state legislature to embrace a fact. And we've talked about this before. The state Republican Party, I'm not talking about the local Republican town committee members or activists or donors, but the state apparatus, the state Republican Party headquarters, that as an institution is not only anachronistic, it is actually in the way. And the sooner we embrace the fact that you need to go around them, not listen to them and not let them get in the way, the sooner you can go out and do your own thing and be successful, build your own organization, not across purposes with the party, but apart from the state party headquarters. And this is we don't have any adults in leadership positions in the Republican Party that can stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not the way to go. Don't hire that consultant from Washington, you know, to run your campaign into the ground. We need to understand that the only way we can win in Connecticut is to build from the ground up, not look to the state party for answers because they have no answers. They have no answers. They have no talent.
Yeah, there's nobody home there.
They have no data.
So what you're saying then is that everybody who runs for office as a Republican right now is basically running as a solo act. There is no organizational support. There is no political machinery in place to help them along. There is not even institutional knowledge and wisdom other than yourself.
Well, I won't go that far, but I will say, and again, this is counterintuitive, and I understand this. It's a leap of faith. If you're new to the game, and a lot of these candidates are, they're good people that want to step up and help save Connecticut or save America. They believe, understandably but naively, that the party must have something to offer, and therefore let's go to these people for advice. And the problem is it's counterproductive because they're going to lead you astray. They're going to point you in the wrong direction. So you've got to build from the bottom up. There are good people all over this party in the state of Connecticut at the grassroots level. But you have to go out and find them. There are thousands of them, and you have to make them part of your operation and part of your team. It can be done. It has been done, and we can do it again.
Sure. But it's tough when you don't have somebody in the big seat. If there were a Republican in the governor's seat who did things to build the party, then that would be the wise thing to do. You want to build that organization up and use it to help create a ground game and get people elected and take control of the legislature back. And that would be a smart, capable person who was controlling the governor's seat. And then all of this would become history, right?
Yes, but I'll take it I'll take it one step down. If Joe Markley had been elected lieutenant governor in 2018, for example, he would have been hands-on, and he would have been a party builder because lieutenant governors, they're very busy when the Senate is in session, but they've actually got a lot of time on their hands otherwise. And Joe Markley is the kind of guy who is a party builder. He would have been out there recruiting candidates, inspiring candidates, raising money for candidates, making sure they brought in the right team.
Well, so that's the point. It looks dire. It looks dire, but one win could lead to this whole situation being straightened out.
Yeah, and Joe Markley won his primary by 17 points. And believe me when I tell you, there were liberals and people that want to go along and get along in the Republican Party that were working hard to keep him out of there because he did represent and does represent change. So there, I guess I use him as a tangible illustration of my point. There is an opportunity to save the state of Connecticut. And as for the nation, 2022 is right around the corner. And we may even have one or two competitive seats for Congress right here in Connecticut if we're smart.
Yeah, that would be a glorious thing. We've got to figure out how that smartness permeates the environment. Tom Scott, great to talk with you always. Thank you, sir.
Anytime. Take care.
All righty. We'll see you next week. Tom Scott joins us every week, former state senator and a guy who works with Republicans to help them win elections in the state. It's, you know, that last part of the conversation, that's the part we all have to think about and concentrate on. And that's one of the mistakes of this fixation on Donald Trump. While he is important and critical, and what goes on in Washington is important and critical, it's easy to let that overshadow Connecticut to such an extent that we forget about it. So I'm glad we got that part of the conversation in. All right, stay tuned for After 6 coming up next. We'll replay the first hour, which was a rockin' first hour. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Talk. My Facebook page, toddtalk.com. And we'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.